courtroom due to the next case of the day, which is number 043745, Roosevelt Burrell against Modern Powers.
This has been my honor and privilege to serve as appointed counsel for Roosevelt Burrell and his claims against Dr. Marvin Powers. Mr. Burrell is an incarcerated individual at the state prison facility in Tams, Illinois. His claims revolve around his injuries he sustained in 1984, where there he has four bullets still in his body from that time. Doctors at Cook County Memorial Hospital, when he sustained those injuries, told him that he needed to have those bullets x-rayed on a regular basis, and he did that until he entered incarceration. He was in three different state facilities before he went to TAMS, and each of the doctors at those facilities found that those injuries and those bullets were sufficiently severe and caused a risk to his health that they gave him the x-rays that the doctors at Cook County said he needed. When he went to TAMS, he was denied those x-rays. Throughout his stay at TAMS, he began feeling numbness. He had blood in his urine. He asked numerous times and filed at least four separate grievances asking for medical treatment to monitor the location of those bullets.
Mr. Ward, let me ask you this. Even given the fact that the Cook County doctors made a medical assessment that he needed periodic x-rays, and even given the fact that you allege that Mr. Burrell alleges that Dr. Powers at one point laughed at his request for an x-ray, Mr. Burrell is a very regular user of the medical services in the various prisons, including this last one. And how can this court, given all the physical examinations, medications, and the like that he was taking, come to the conclusion that he was not receiving, but that he wasn't within the realm of medical judgment, I'll put it that way, to have x-rays at a different rate of frequency?
It's my understanding, I think the record reflects, that he didn't get any x-rays at all.
Right, maybe, why couldn't the doctor decide, you know, this many years out, or whatever, you know, we just don't need to x-ray anymore, and maybe some doctor thinks that you need a different physical external sign before x-rays are medically indicated. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I mean, why shouldn't I assume that this is not a man who was never in the clinic? He was there all the time.
I understand that, and nor am I a doctor, you are. But the weight of the evidence and what's in the record shows that the Cook County physician said he needed them, and the three prior IDOC facilities also appeared to agree, otherwise they would have been giving him redundant treatment or unnecessary treatment.
Right, but doctors disagree sometimes, sad to say, it's not quite as much of a science as we might like, and maybe this doctor just didn't think that was needed.
Well, I think the fact that he was expressing and experiencing numbness in his arms, pain, blood in his urine, it goes to show, support his claim, and there's four other previous doctors that agreed that he did need these materials, and there's no question in the record that these bullets are there, that they are located close to vital organs, that if they moved they could cause paralysis, or in, you know, a horribly unfortunate instance, possibly death. I think that whether the doctor was correct in his assessment, when compared with the four other doctors that thought that he needed these x-rays, at the very least is a question for the jury. And to take it away on summary judgment stage, it's just inappropriate. And another thing that
it sounds more like perhaps malpractice, but not deliberate indifference, though, isn't it?
Well, if it were just a disagreement, I might agree with Your Honor. But there were four separate occasions. There were at least four grievances that grieved for these exact same injuries. And he got no treatment. He followed the state mandated procedures on these grievances, and he got nowhere. As part of his incarceration, the federal law has continuously held that the state is required to provide them medical care. And he was just getting no medical care, despite his symptoms that were present.
Well, he was getting medical care, as Judge Wood pointed out, but he wasn't getting medical care he thought he should get.
He wasn't getting medical care for those injuries. I mean, there were some other things, including Tylenol or Motrin on occasion, but he did not get the x-rays to monitor the location of these bullets that very well could have caused him paralysis or even worse.
Can we go back to exhaustion, though, for a moment? Because, of course, there's a little bit of ships passing in the night between your brief and that of the state. Because I think the state's basic point is he didn't take his grievance all the way up to the final administrative review level. And our law is pretty clear that you've got to go the whole distance before exhaustion can be shown.
I agree that the law is clear, Your Honor, but the first time the state raises this is at the appellate level, which I submit is incorrect.
But it's a matter of the law. I mean, they did raise lack of exhaustion, whether they said quite the right things. It seems to me the record was quite clear that he didn't go to this final administrative review board.
Well, I respectfully disagree in that. Their brief below, or their motion below, said that he submitted no grievances at all. And as you know, it's their burden to carry that motion, to be successful for summary judgment, or a motion to dismiss, which it was transferred from. We responded to, or Mr. Burrell responded to that assertion. He submitted five different grievances, or four different grievances, I apologize, that showed exactly that he did do that. And in some respects, asking him to go further than responding to what they asserted would be asking him to come up and counter every conceivable argument against his claims without them actually raising them. They said that he brought no grievances. That's what their motion says, and he showed in Exhibits 1 through 5 to his reply to that he did bring grievances.
Well, except I guess this Nancy Tucker affidavit, her position is as chairperson of the Administrative Review Board.
Yes.
So she's accurately saying no grievances reached us, right? And isn't that enough?
Ms. Tucker's affidavit does state, if I remember correctly, that no grievances reached us, but that's not what they stated in their brief. And to me, it would be analogous almost to citing a case for support on some other issue, and then when it got to this level, saying, oh, well, there's something else in that case that supports my case, and that's really what we're talking about. They didn't cite to that on their brief, and frankly, I don't think that it was our job to dig through that and then respond to them. Mr. Burrell responded to their arguments. He brought forth evidence, and at this point, all he asked for is his day in court. Your Honor, I see I've come to my last minute. Unless you have any questions, I'll save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. King. Moore. Unrath.
Good morning, counsel. My name is Craig Unrath, and I represent the appellee, Dr. Marvin Powers. I believe that counsel has raised something similar to a waiver argument, suggesting that we have not raised the issue of in the court below as to whether the plaintiff exhausted his appeal process in the prison.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's saying that you complained that he never filed any grievances, and he showed that he did file grievances, and now you're saying, according to him, oh, well, we know that you have grievances, but didn't get to the ARB.
Yeah, I admit the trial counsel misstated the record when they argued in their memorandum of law that he had never filed a grievance. Quite frankly, I look at that as an oversight, because the affidavit of Ms. Tucker, who is on the Administrative Review Board, she represents the appeals process. She stated explicitly that there were no grievances filed before the ARB. Essentially, our trial attorney was a little bit hasty. Regardless, it is impossible to contend that we have waived the argument. Certainly, we raised the issue of failure to exhaust administrative remedies, and I believe it is a standard, well-established principle of appellate practice that an appellee may raise any argument supported by the record. Clearly, we've done that here. The district court's decision is what we're appealing here. And the district court is the one who zeroed in on Ms. Tucker's affidavit, found that no appeal had been taken, and concluded that thereby the administrative remedies had not been exhausted. Now, I do not believe I need to repeat the relevant portion of the Prison Litigation Reform Act, but it just basically states that you must take advantage of all such remedies as are available to you. In this case, his grievance was denied. He did not appeal. Therefore, he did not take advantage of all remedies available to him. I recently filed a motion to cite additional authority, and I'd like to apologize to this court. I would love to blame my issues on Westlaw, but I just don't know as though that argument can stand. In some 35, 40 seconds of research in preparing for this argument, I stumbled across law that I believe is controlling, and I apologize to this court for not putting that in my initial brief. So are there no other questions from the court?
Thank you, Mr. Donner.
Thank you.
We have 2 minutes, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think this will be fairly short. As we know, this court reviews the lower court's ruling in summary judgment motions de novo. And he says that the judge's order, you know, searched through and found this, so we should really be concerned with what the judge found. And we're always concerned with what the judge found, but in this instance, it was their burden to reach this. I mean, they had to put forth evidence and they had to show that we did not exhaust our administrative remedies. They didn't do that. And the fact that the judge independently went digging for it, that's admirable from a judicial standpoint, but it wasn't the judge's burden, it was their burden, and they didn't meet their burden. We responded exactly to what they had in their brief. We showed that he had filed grievances, and they did nothing to rebut that. In his initial complaint, Mr. Burrell indicated that he filed all the way through grievances to Springfield and all these things and was denied at every level. Is there documentary evidence of that? Nothing other than his word and the fact that in his brief he says that he sent that documentation to Springfield.
Well, carrying the burden would be producing evidence. Does Ms. Tucker's affidavit constitute that?
They weren't citing Ms. Tucker's affidavit for the lack of an appeal. They were citing it for the fact that he didn't file grievances, and we countered that by citing the 4 or 5 grievances to where it becomes a question of
they have misstated it, but her affidavit is what it is and does support the fact that there was no appeal taken and it was in evidence.
I submit that it wasn't Mr. Burrell's responsibility to read the state's mind as to what they were doing. He took their motion on its face value, responded to it on its face value.
But it was in evidence and the judge got it right, didn't he?
I submit that it was in evidence, but that wasn't the question before the judge at the time. It would be Mr. Burrell's position. The question before the judge was, did he present grievances? And we showed that he did. There are no other questions, I think.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Mr. Moore, you have the deep thanks of the court for the fine job that you've done representing your client by appointment to the court. We very much appreciate the help. Dita, thanks to both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement.